All right, let's get into God's word. Father, we thank you. We believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We thank you that as we get into your word today, in this concluding series on liberality, we would be edified. Your name will be glorified and the saints will have that which they would learn that they can share with others. To the glory and praise of your name and the saints say, amen. Amen. I pick up today at 12:06. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's get into God's word. Liberality part 4. We start off with our very popular scripture, John 3 verse 16. Say, I'm born of the Spirit. Come on, I'm born of the Spirit. You know, there's something Sister Ayola said that I want us to be very vocal about. The confession of the God kind. Are you hearing me? The confession of faith. If a man shall say to this, if a man shall say to this, so what is your responsibility in front of mountains? Crying? Saying. Well, he says, what do you say to the mountain? Be thou removed. That's what we do. You know, and shall not doubt. How do you not doubt? You continually say, praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. You stay with it. Are you hearing what she said? You know, I was like, she might as well pastor. She might as well preach it. But again, she stopped. Amen. She said, stay with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Stay with it. Amen. You shall say, let's do some saying. I'm born of God. I'm born of the Spirit. Come on, are you ready? I'm helped of God. Come on, I am helped of God. I walk in God's wisdom. Come on, I walk in wisdom. As for me, I walk in wisdom. I'm directed by the Spirit. Come on, I am directed by the Spirit. In 2025, it is direction all the way. His direction all my days. Oh, I'm directed by the Spirit. I walk in favor. I walk in the Holy Ghost. I heal the sick. Oh, come and I heal the sick. I lay my hands on the sick. I declare God's word. I am God's child. I'm the house of God. I'm the postcode of God. I'm the temple of the Spirit. Come on, I am the temple of the Spirit. Come on, God lives here. God lives here. He walks in me. He strengthens my body. No weakness in 2025. Oh, no weakness in 2025. I'm strengthened by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Yeah, praise God. We just keep on believing. We just keep on believing. We just keep on believing. The Bible says Moses at 120 years, his strength was not abated. Someone say, same God. Same God. Stop all this statement of I'm now 50. I'm now 40. I'm getting old. The Bible says, Moses said at 120, same strength I had when I was called. Hallelujah. Don't follow the normal diagnosis. You are supernatural. I am not against doctors. One of my favorite people is a doctor. But my point is, amen. Is it who? Is you? My point is, we stand supernatural. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know they said this. This one happens in our family, but me. Yes, come on. Ah, amen. Hallelujah. The path of the righteous is brighter. Hallelujah. And brighter. God gave us his word so we will know what to say. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The world is speaking. We speak our own language. Amen. We speak our own language. It doesn't matter what they say concerning 2025. Just like Dickinson Dick has told me. He said this year is a new year of progress. Glory! Praise God. That's what he said. Oh, you don't believe you're Dickin? If God can Dickin a person, the person has God's word in his mouth. He said it, that God spoke to him and said progress. Since the day I heard it, God said progress. Said, who said it? It's God. Who said it? It's God. God said progress. Amen. Amen. So where do we hear it? He said it. Praise God. That's how you take what God says. Hallelujah. Let's confess God's word again. Say progress. Come on, say progress. Come on, say progress. Hey, in the name of Jesus. Say more souls won. Say progress. Say more for the kingdom. Oh, more in the gifts of the Spirit. More in the miraculous. Progress. Shout amen. Amen. All right, let's get into God's word. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. So we conclude the way we started off. God is a lover. What do lovers do? Lovers give. One of the symptoms of a lover is giving. There is no lover that is stingy. Even people that are called stingy, when they love, they give. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Love. There are many people that give and don't love. But people that love give, because God is love and he gave. He gave his only begotten son. We also said that love is sacrificial. He gave his only begotten son. So who is God? A lover. A lover that gives. How does he give? Sacrificially. Why do we learn about God? We learn about God so we can know who we are. Look at 1 John. I'm in John now. We're going to 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. We have a lot to cover. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. How does a man get aware of the love of God? Because he laid down his life for... Oh, I want you to be there. 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I've said this many times. The person who has received God's love becomes brethren-centric. He laid down his life, not just so you might rejoice. The real rejoicing in knowing that he laid down his life for you is that you lay your life down for the brethren. Love understood is laying down your life. God laid down his life that you may for the brethren. So your mind, so love gives vision. Praise God. Church, let's get praying. Love gives vision. Have you ever met someone that loves somebody? You realize that love is not passive like that. You'll be like, I love that lady. I will call her. Are you seeing it now? I will send her a text. I will buy her flowers. Are you seeing? Love gets you acting. Are you getting what I'm saying? We will schedule a movie together. I am going shopping. I will buy a t-shirt for him too. Love is active. Praise the Lord. So when, and one of the things we are treating ourselves really is, as you see how much God loves you, you start to respond. The loved responds. When we don't see you responding, we tell you more and more how God loves you. Amen? Because it says, we ought to lay down. Why? We saw how he laid down. So love makes us respond because love is our example. Praise the Lord. So what we do, we saw from someone that did. Christianity is actually a following game. You actually see what someone did, then you do. He loved us. Are you getting it? He gave himself for us. What do we do? We haven't received that love. Give ourselves for others. So, what do I need to do to actually be who God wants me to be? Keep looking at how much he loves me. Keep talking about how much he loves me. Praise the Lord. 1 John 4. I've already, 1 John 4, verse 19. I want you to see there. 1 John 4, verse 19. We love him. I want you to be there. We do what? Love him. Why? Because he what? First loved us. So the point is, this I love God is not just something, you don't start it. I love God is a response to he loved you. Amen. Church, amen. That's why you cannot love God as you ought to if you don't know how much he loves you. That's why we teach the believer about how much God loves him. That's why John 3:16 does not actually go out of fashion. For God so loved the world that he gave.
So you don't. So the point is, God did not say, "What about me?" So we go giving, we go loving, we go sacrificing, because that's what we saw. Can we get a believing amen?
Amen.
Can we get a believing amen? Amen? And like I said, let me start this way. What greater love than a man laying his life down for another? That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, the greatest love is to lay your life down. Meaning, be a vessel through which other men will be blessed. That, he says there is no greater love. So while you can say greater love, while you can say I love somebody, and you say I will do this for this, Jesus said no greater love exists than laying down your life for the other. The point there is love, when I understand the love of God, I actually then now lay down my life for others. No greater love than to lay down your life. How do you lay down your life for others? You lay down your life for others by serving them in that they get to know Jesus. That's one. Because remember, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his? So the first laying down is that we give ourselves that men may know Jesus. Then why do we say we give ourselves to church? Church is the training ground where people who have come to be in the kingdom of God are trained so that they can get other people to know Jesus. Can we get a believing amen? That is why every serious believer is committed to a local church. The local church, coming to the local church, is a very evident proof of your love for God. Because God's will is that all men will know him. Are you getting what I'm saying? He now says, the way I have planned in my strategy book that all men will know me is that I will have something in different places called church. The people that are saved will go into those places. They should go into those places and be training one another so that they can go and expand to get more people to be saved. So when a man says, I am a lover of God, and you don't find him in church, he's either he's ignorant or he doesn't love God as he claims. Praise the Lord. Because the hub of God, the hub of God, the work of God, the logistics of God is the local church. Praise God. Church, praise God. Because that's where God is working. God is not working in America. God is working in his kingdom. He's not working in Asia, Antarctica. God is not doing all of those things. God is in his local church, raising men to reach the world for him. Can we get a believing amen? So that is why the world is the way the world is. God is not in control of the world. Men are, and the spirit of evil. Where is God ruling and reigning? God is ruling and reigning in the hearts of men that believe in him. When they congregate together, they are called church. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. If you don't understand this, you will be, where is God? Why is this happening in Europe, in America? Did God permit it? What is God doing in your days? God is in his church. How does God work? God has a church and send ministers to the church to teach people. Because as they teach people, they are changed. You know what I'm telling you about God's love? The point is that so that you come out, become a lover, and then you lay down your life for others, that others may know. You know that if everywhere is filled with the glory and the knowledge of God through the local church, how many people know that it will at some point affect the country? You know, we always want to change from actually maybe the president or change. No. It's supposed to, God's strategy is the best. Start in church. As the world is won and discipled, you will see the effect all around. Praise the Lord. You know, people can say, it's not true. That's the reason, even the church self says it's not true. That's the reason why sometimes we struggle with what we struggle with. God's pattern and system is the local church. Until everybody comes back to the local church, even Christians. That's why I always preach. It's not popular. I always tell, even paraministry should be connected to a local church. Because God's will is that the local church is operating. The will of God is that God did not permit that evangelists are just somewhere. They are in Benue, in Mexico, where they are not wearing clothes and stuff like that, and they don't have any support. No. Evangelists were meant to be raised from the local church. They now go somewhere. They now have a support system at home, supporting them in the work they are doing over there. Are you getting how God works? But we can say, no. I am Mr. John Boo Ministry, Evangelical Goiwi. And he does that. I am saying to you, God's will. We may say we are not following God's will. God will work with us to the best that he can. But God's will is the local church. And how we show that we love God is that we serve in the local church. As we serve in the local church, right, we start off as disciples. We end up as apostles. Who is a disciple, a follower? Who is an apostle? A sent one. The one that follows consistently becomes the one that is sent. Praise the Lord. I'm not using the word in the, I'm just using the real, the Greek meaning of the words. Disciple is a follower, a student. Apostle is a sent one. If you stay following long enough, you become someone that is trained to be sent. Right? That's why a sent one, you don't just wake up one day, I'm Apostle Jumbo. No, no. Where did you come from? Who trained you? Before we can send you a message, you know, apostleship, while it is a grace, you first have been found faithful. Yeah. Amen. How many people know that if you had a messenger, how many people have, at some point in life, you have had the privilege of managing other people, and then there is some work you want to do, but you know that there is a particular staff that you will send. You know that there is another staff. Selah. If we send this staff, he will not get it done. That is why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:1-2, it is required among stewards that we should be found faithful. That's why, Lord, use me. It's not a Christian prayer point. Stay. Follow. He does the sending. Praise God. I was sharing with my wife what this week. I never prayed and I will never pray to be a pastor. Amen. I loved following Bishop David Oyedepo about. I love following Pastor David Oyedepo about. I love following Pastor Kola about. I just love carrying their Bible. I'm the guy you will see before you see Pastor David Oyedepo. Coming with, I'm the protocol guy. It was my own with Hello John Ford. No. By in the world, when if you see Pastor preaching, I'm by his side there standing, taking control in my mind. Praying in tongues while he's there ministry. He say, listen, I'm there. Praying in tongues like this, standing as protocol. God first finds you faithful before he sends you. I was not part of those that said, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, pastoral is my. No, it's not a Christian thing. It's not. It's not. Find yourself faithful. I'm talking about liberality. Give yourself, if you like it that way, give yourself to the labor of others. How? By remembering how God labored to give you eternal life. And then as you stay faithful, that's how your life blossoms and emerges. Can we get a believing amen? Amen. All right, let us continue. Let us get into the message today. And the truth is, it's important to understand that you have a giving nature. Say, I have a giving nature. Come on, say, I have a giving nature. Also, it's all, the number two point you must note is that the Bible is an explanation of the love of God. Let's say that together. The is an explanation of the love of God. I know we know there is what? Old Testament and there is New. They have the same message. The old, all of the things in the New Testament was gotten from the Old Testament. It's just that in the Old Testament is explained clearer in the New Testament. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Let me give an example. So you open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 16. And I'm going somewhere. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, for example, just like in Exodus as well, God will say, all Israelites shall appear before me 3 times a year. How many times? 3 times a year. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 16. All right. I want us to read it in the NLT so that it can make sense to you. Are you in Deuteronomy 16, verse 1? All right. Okay. Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. All right. It says, in honor of the Lord, your God, celebrate the Passover. Now, listen carefully. Listen, what did I just start off with? I started off by saying the Bible is saying the same thing. What is the same thing the Bible is saying? For God so loved the world that he gave his only child, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God will now say, how will God teach this same message to the Jews? He will say, appear before me 3 times a year. The first time you shall appear before me, you will be celebrating a feast. That feast is called the Feast of Passover. The Feast of what? I remember the Passover. Remember the story of the Passover? Where what happened at the Passover? They were in Egypt. God told Moses that every household should get a lamb. And what should they do to the lamb? They should do what? Kill the lamb. And the blood of the lamb, they should put it upon the lintel of the house. And whenever death was passing, it will pass over. Amen. It is a feast now called the Feast of the Passover. What was that talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the lamb. Amen. That is shed, is killed for man. That whosoever believes in what Jesus Christ has done will not perish but have everlasting life. So when they were celebrating the Passover and they were killing a ram in the Old Testament, they were preaching about what Jesus Christ will come and do. Can we get a believing amen? What will Jesus Christ come and do? The love of God. Come and die. So in the Old Testament, you will see feast. You will see party. But he's actually talking about Jesus demonstrating the love of God. Amen. The second feast is called the Feast of the First Fruit, or the Feast of the Harvest, or what you can call it, the Feast of the Tithes. What is the Feast of the First Fruit? You know, they were farmers. So they would go and farm. When they farm, the first crop that comes up, the Bible says, it's in that same, Deuteronomy 16. The first crop that comes up, they are to take all of those first crop, and they are to do what? Okay, just for your Bible, please. Just for your Bible, in case you are wondering, how do you know that Jesus is the Passover? Well, Jesus is the Passover because the New Testament tells us that clearly. That the Passover that they were doing in the Old Testament was talking about Jesus. Just for your notes, 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7, it says, Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb. Amen? I'm just trying to help you see that it's the same thing that was being said in the Old, but it looks like he's talking about a party. He's now clearly told you in the New. That old ram you were killing was a type and shadow. The Old Testament ram they were killing was physical, but Jesus, it was to say that Jesus Christ will come. And in his coming, he will die, and his blood will set us free. Can we get a believing amen? Amen? Now, the second feast is the Feast of the Harvest, first fruit, tithe, you know. So, what is that feast? The first of the crops that emerges from the ground. The Jews were to pack it and go and give it to the Lord. Why? It was to state, it was, who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the first fruit. Jesus is the first that comes out from the grave. Can we get a believing amen? Church, are you getting me? He is the first that comes out from the grave. So while he will use crops to talk to them about it, say the first of your doings, the first of your deeds. He says Jesus Christ is the first that comes out of the grave as the new creation. Jesus is the first that comes out of the grave as the new creation. How did he teach the people in the Old Testament? First harvest, first fruit. Take it and give it to the Lord. You see it in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. You want to open there? Christ, our first fruits. He is the first that, you know, the first fruit shows us how others will be. If you're a farmer, if you actually start to get the first fruit and you can see that the first fruit is bad, you know, other seeds will be bad. So just is the first fruit that comes out of the grave that shows us how other new creations will be. Are we together? Let's look at it. First, I am going somewhere that I have not even touched. 1 Corinthians 15:20. 1 Corinthians 15:20. I want you to see it. All right. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 15:20. It says, "For Christ now is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of them that slept." Look at verse 23. "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits." Are you seeing it there? So Jesus is the first fruit. Are you getting the point? When you get into the New Testament, it tell you that first fruit that those guys were talking about. Why should you know this? Because of the things I will start saying later. It's important. You must know this. What is the last festival that he's talking about? It's called the Festival of Ingathering. or the festival is the festival of ingathering, or the festival of tabernacles. What is that festival? After Jesus comes out of the grave, who comes out of the grave too? You come out of the grave. So that remaining crop. So you know the first fruit is that you take the first part. Are you getting it? And then you offer it unto the Lord. That's the festival of the first fruit. The festival of the harvest is that after Christ comes out of the grave, you too come out with it. So it's the festival of ingathering, where souls are won, where men are coming to the knowledge of Jesus. Can we get a believing amen? So when you see three feasts in the Bible, it is actually pointing to something that God is speaking about. Just like when you see Festival of Trumpets. There's another one like the Festival of Trumpets. What is Festival of Trumpets? It's not really that you should take a trumpet. Blow your trumpet. Give it to me now. Blow your trumpet. Run, 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 run. Blow your trumpet. The Festival of Trumpets, in the Old Testament, they were blowing trumpets. They would just think it's a festival. Let's go. And they go to bed. But you know what that festival actually means in the New Testament? The preaching of the gospel. The Bible says, I heard a voice like a trumpet. A trumpet is a message. So it's trying to tell you, before the feast of ingathering, there must be the feast of trumpets. Meaning they will blow. They will teach. Somebody will go and be preaching the gospel. Then men will get saved. I am saying, the Old Testament is saying the same thing that the New Testament is saying, but in a funny way. Praise God. Church, praise God. That is why you realize that in the even when Jesus Christ came, when Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ died on the very day of Passover. Praise God. When did the Holy Ghost come? The Holy Ghost came on the very day of Pentecost, on the very day of first fruits. Are you getting the point? All of those stories, they look like stories, but they are in God's wisdom talking about Christ. Can we get a believing amen? Amen. Can we get a believing amen? Now that we have said this, just like I told you about the tithing last week, right? There was also something called the tithe, which I've said is the first fruits. Because later, I need you to know why we do what we do. It's very important. God will tell them, because I'm going to teach you how to give and give God's way. God will show the Jews how to give and stay willing givers. Can I get a believing amen? Amen? See, let me tell you something. How to do what? Be a willing giver. So God will tell the children of Israel about the tithe. He will tell them in the book of Deuteronomy 26. I'm saying this so that by the time I am actually clicking it together in the New Testament to make sense to you. In Deuteronomy 26, that was God trying to teach the children of Israel how to be willing givers. And he used the tithe to teach them. Look at Deuteronomy 26. All right. I'm going to read from, all right. Let me read it in the NLT so that everybody gets what I am saying. Deuteronomy 26. All right. So he's going to teach them what they should do when they enter the land of Canaan. Someone said the land of Canaan. So what did God promise those guys? They will enter the land of Canaan. What is God's promise to you when you believe the gospel? You enter the kingdom of God. It's together. Okay, look at it. It says, when you enter into the land that the Lord your God is giving to you as a special possession, I'm going to read through, verse 1, which, and you have conquered it and you have settled there, put some of the first produce from each crop you harvest into a basket and bring it to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God will choose. Verse 3, go to the priest in charge of that time and say to him, with this gift, listen, this is the thing he said they should say. Because what they will be saying will give them a reason to be willing givers. So listen to it. Because if you're a giver and your mind is not on redemption, at some point you will struggle with giving. I'll say it again. If you're a giver and your mind is not on redemption, you will struggle with giving. So God will teach the Jews how to stay willing givers by what he will say they should say when they give their offering, when they give their first fruit. Look at it. It says, go to the priest in charge at that time and say to him, with this gift, I acknowledge to the Lord your God that have entered the land. He swore to our fathers that he will give us. Amen. So he's coming with a gift to say, every time he comes with his gift, he's coming to say, God promised us we will enter this land. We have now entered. Please follow. Look at verse 4. The priest will take the basket from you, put it before the altar. Look at verse 5. You must then say in the presence of the Lord your God. Because you have to talk. Listen, I know people always say, times are hard, this is that. But the man that remembers redemption and what God has done for him will never have issues setting aside a part of his earnings for the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look at verse 5. You must then say, in the presence of the Lord, my ancestor Jacob was a wandering Syrian, an Aramean, who went to live in a foreign land in Egypt. His family arrived there few in number, but in Egypt they became a large and mighty people. When the Egyptians oppressed and humiliated us and made us slaves, we cried unto our God of our ancestors. He heard us and saw our hardship and our oppression. Verse 8, so the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Are you hearing? What did the Lord do? Brought us out of Egypt, of bondage, with a strong hand and a powerful arm, with overwhelming terror, with signs and wonders he brought us out. He brought us to this place and gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. And now have I brought the portion of the first fruit of the harvest you have given into the ground, then place the produce before the Lord. Are you seeing what is happening here? The man goes with his offering and he always does what? Remember that I was that man who should have still been in bondage. Are you getting it? In Egypt. But God delivered me and has brought me into that Canaan land. Who is the believer? And that way, when you are saying it, you'll be like, it's true. It's true. It's true. Regardless of where I am right now, oh my God, we were actually we were slaves in Egypt. We are now free in our own land. Lord, take. As an acknowledgement that we are your own. As an acknowledgement that we are not like the other people. As an acknowledgement that you delivered us. Who is the Christian? The Christian comes and says, I was in darkness. You brought me. That's how you give your offering. If you didn't do it before, now you know. Now that God judges you based on the knowledge you have. Amen? So you give your offering with a mindset. That's what makes you willing. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Giving to God is not charity. Giving to God is how we express what he has given to us. Praise the Lord. Look at it. So you don't say, I'm someone. I was in darkness. I am now redeemed. I'm born again. I have eternal life. You have given me the Spirit. I have come with my offering just to say thank you because of that which you have done. That's how we give in this kingdom. Where did we learn it from? We learned it from the old. The old says the same thing as the new. Amen. That is why you will learn from practice. God will never collect a gift that is not willing. So he will teach the people how to be willing. Amen. That's why God is not interested in your heart. God is not interested in things. He's first interested in your heart. Then he will teach you how to make your heart right by reminding you of where you are coming from. That's the only way you can get your heart right, because God will not collect an offering that is not willing. Praise God. Pastor might collect it. God does not collect offering that is not willing. Let me show you. Exodus 25. You know, I used to laugh a lot when people say, Pastor Daya, sometimes it doesn't really teach from the Old Testament. I say, no, I'm just training you with the new so that when we enter the old, you understand what I'm saying. Amen. Praise God. Exodus 25. Look at it. Are you in verse 1? Now the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they may bring an offering of every man that giveth it. Church, I want you to be there. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. God actually instructs. So it's not that we have gone online. If it is still in the days where which we have ushers going about, we should ask you, are you willing? The moment is, I'm not willing. No, I'm sorry. Next week. But how does God get you willing? God gets you willing by getting you to realize where you are coming from. I was that man. I was that man. I was that man. Praise the Lord. Church, are you getting it? Praise the Lord. Yeah, I was that man. And let's see something there. What was in the mind of God in the physical? You know, we have talked about the spiritual reality. What was in the mind of God when God said that the people should bring a tithe?
It is in Deuteronomy 14. It's in Deuteronomy 26. He will say, when you bring the tithe, that it may be. Listen, that it may be for the... I am not teaching tithe, I'm explaining it. Amen? He says that it may be for the Levites. It may be for the temple. It may be for the widows. It may be for the orphans. Are you hearing? And that is why... So, God gave those people a system. Someone say a system. To fulfill the type and shadow called Christ and to practically meet the needs of the temple. Amen. Church, amen. Church, is amen. Because I'm going to break this down in how it applies to you in the New Testament. So from a spiritual point of view, you say Jesus is the tithe. He's the first. You say Jesus is the Pentecost. He's the Passover. You know, Passover was bringing grains. I love that, yeah? Bringing animal. What were those animals used for? Have anybody seen the Lord before eating cow? Bull. Rice. Say, the Holy Ghost is demanding for fresh fish. Brother. No. Those things were a type, and from a spiritual point of view, a type and a shadow of what Jesus Christ will come and do. He will come, he will die, he will come out of the grave. But also look at the physical reality. Those things were also a system to ensure that the temple was taken care of. But you know what people do? People take the spiritual revelation. They will say, Jesus is the Passover. Jesus is the tithe. Jesus is the this. And because of that, they do not embrace giving. And when they don't embrace giving, who gets to suffer? The temple, the Levites, the widows, and the poor. Praise the Lord. And then God will say, no, I already provided for it. People say, no, wow, we are Christocentric. Amen? What am I teaching here? I am teaching here that while God uses the Old Testament to speak about types and shadows, he clearly draws out systems that if you use, it becomes better for you. How did Paul get this? An example. Paul will talk about 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. You say, though get faithful men who you can teach, that they may teach others. Where did he get it from? He got it from Jethro. Jethro came to meet Moses in the wilderness and said, and Moses was telling him, see all the things that God has done. He has done this, he has done that. And the next day, the Bible says Moses all the day was actually dealing with all the people. He was counseling people. And Jethro said, no, you cannot do this. You're going to wear out and die. The man of God can die. He says, how would you do that you will not die? Get men that they shall be head of tens, head of 50s, head of hundreds, and head of 1,000s. That's what Paul read. And Paul said, able men. I am saying that there is nothing in the New Testament that did not come from the old. So when you are actually reading the type and shadow, also embrace, if you embrace or look at the wisdom in the system that God is trying to put out. Praise God. That is why Malachi 3, God is not interested in people's money. God will say, bring ye all the tithes. Let there be meat in my house. Who is the food for? It's for the Levites, it's for the poor, it's for the people. It's for the widows. This is the reason why in the New Testament, the Bible will say, ensure that the widows in your midst are taken care of. If you cannot take care of them, the church will do it. Why? The people have given. So the church should take care of the widows. The people have given. The church should take care of the poor. So a church that is collecting offering, that is not taking care of the poor, not taking care of people in need, is not using the money well. Are you getting it? Amen. Church, amen. Deuteronomy, I'm teaching from Deuteronomy 16, Deuteronomy 14, Deuteronomy 26. Let me now break it down for context. How should a believer give? How should a believer give? Quickly. How should we give? Number one, the believer gives with his heart and willingly. You've already seen it. I've shown it before. How does the believer give? Willingly with his heart. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12. Quickly, because of our time. The believer gives willingly. 2 Corinthians, are you in 8? Verse 12. Church, are you there now?
For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted. So that means there are things that will not be accepted. How do we know what God accepts? God's word shows us a willing mind. And not how else do we give? We give according to what we have, not according to what we don't. So the believer does not use credit cards to give offering. Amen. Church, amen. What you have. The point in it is that it's the idea of you are not the same as the world. When you earn, when an unbeliever earns, he spends it up on his lust. Are you getting the point? The believer will say, I'm setting a path for the Lord. Why are you setting a path for the Lord? I am a Christian. Do you get the point? Giving is one of the ways we show our holiness, that we are set apart unto God. Amen. That's the point. So that's why it's of a willing heart. That's why he will tell you, so that you are willing. Before you give, remind yourself of where you are coming from. I was in the world. I was saved. Amen. Praise God. Number two, how do you give? You give cheerfully, not under pressure. And that's why I always tell people, you have to, pressured giving is not kingdom giving, even though there is pressure on the needs. Amen. Pressured giving is not kingdom giving. Praise God. Church, praise God. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man as he proposeth in his heart. Are you saying that God and your heart are playing? There's this emphasis on your heart. It's just that if your heart is in the right place, the giving is not an issue. The real issue is that where is your heart? And we dealt with it last week. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So God is now telling the people in the Old Testament, whose heart can be anywhere, he will remind them through a story. My father was an Aramean, and then you now helped him. He went into Egypt, and then he now became wealthy and mighty. Then a new king came that did not know Joseph, and then made us suffer. And then in our suffering, we cried unto the Lord, and you promised us a land, and you now brought us into the land. Okay, now take. That's how he worked on their hearts. Amen. Praise God. Look at verse 7. Are you getting what I'm saying today? Church, are you getting what I'm saying today? All right, look at it. For every man, as he proposeth in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly. You know, if it was in the days of where we have ushers, we should be looking at look at Fola's face. Is she frowning? Just return our offering. Amen. Not grudgingly or of necessity. If you don't give now, something happens. If you don't. When we talk like that, we make it look like God is not able to meet the needs. You can express that there are needs in a particular place, but people must not be under pressure. Amen. Praise God. That's why this kingdom is supernatural. Trust God. Meaning we trust God that God will meet the needs by working on the hearts of the people. Praise the Lord. That's why you praise God steers the hearts of men. Amen. Not of necessity. Why? Look at it. It's in your Bible, verse 7. For God loves a... Come on. God loves a... God loves cheerful giving. That's the original word there. God loves it when it is cheerful. Amen. And how do you become cheerful? You remember where you were and how he brought you from where you were. That's how we give. Praise the Lord. Now the next part as we conclude in this service, what do we give to? Number one, we give to the kingdom. Look at Exodus 25. That same Exodus 25. Because it's teaching the very same thing. God doesn't change. Exodus 25. You will see in verse 1, he will tell them, number one, collect an offering. Right? Of all the people. He will tell you in that Exodus 25 verse 1, those who give it willingly, you shall take. Verse 8 will tell you, and let them make me a... Are you in verse 8? Exodus 25 verse 8. And what are they to do with the giving? Let them make me a sanctuary. It's a type and a shadow. The sanctuary is... And that word for sanctuary is what? Temple. Amen? And that word for sanctuary is what? Temple. Who is the temple really? Today, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the givings in the local church is for the blessedness of the temple. Amen. So all of the things that make the local church where people can be blessed, and it is us now using the money to build the temple. Are you getting it? So that's the simple thing there. That's why if you look through the scriptures, you always be talking about temple. Temple. Haggai. Temple. Always temple. Why? It's a type and shadow of what God is saying. So in the church now, it's not about a physical temple, it's about the hearts of men. And right, some people always say, Pastor Dyer, is it good to have a big temple or a small temple? As long as the saints actually are comfortable to actually serve God, we invest in those things. Praise God. Anything for the blessedness of the building of the temple. What? Amen. How many people know it's better that we have an air conditioning system in this room rather than somebody is just distracted because of cold? So the people will invest in air conditioning unit and finance will pay. Why? It's for the temple. When we talk about temple, we're not talking about the physical building, but that which will be a blessedness to the people. Praise the Lord. So we give to the sanctuary, to the building of the kingdom, the things of the kingdom. So when you don't need to wait to hear, there's a need. Like I always say, so my friends came when we started Grace Street. Said, in this local church, you don't pressure people to give. I said, the difference between a sheep and a goat is you give instruction. Sheep will obey. Goat will be stubborn. My intention is to, by God's word, change people from goats to sheep. We can't do it by pressure. We do it by revelation. Amen. Yes, amen. Yeah. If you don't give now, God do, and God doesn't. Right? We don't need to lie. Manipulate, beat, no. Because at the end of the day, we are all here about Jesus. God loves a cheerful giver. You know, cheerful giving is not the one that we have already. Don't you know that if you don't do this, God will not do that. All of those things, we now finally get you. You're not saying, Pastor, give it to me. Because last week, Sister Janet came, and then she gave to me, and then she did this, and then we did it. And then, no. God just wants the people. Cheerful giving. Your heart. You just be like, Lord, I want to serve you. That's what God is interested in. That's what a noble pastor is interested in. I know they are bills, but that's the nobility of the gospel, that God can work on people's hearts without pressure. If God cannot do it, there's nothing we can do. If not, we'll go out of his will because he wants cheerful giving. That's why I said, when I stand before the Lord, I say, God, you can accuse me of many, many things, but this kingdom gymnastics, I don't have it. I don't have it. Amen. If God's work cannot work in you, I can't help you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. How do we give? We give to the kingdom. Number two, we give to ministers. We give to ministers. And let me say to you very clearly. First, Thessalonians 5:12. In fact, for your notes, because we have to close in 6 minutes. Right? Let me take it well. Galatians 6, verse 6. Galatians 6, 6. Galatians 6, 6. We'll still get to 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Galatians 6, 6. Verse 6. See, you know, when we started Grace Range, I didn't have issues with many, many things God said we should say. I had issues with this one. I said, God, you want me to be preaching about giving? It will not look like maybe I need their money. Right? It's not look like that. So for many years, I would not preach about it until Sister Madeline would come and say, God told me you're working in disobedience. I said, what is the problem? Said, you won't even teach. That's why when you raise spiritual people, hey God, you won't even teach about giving. I said, okay, Lord, I repent. And then I said to him, and I said, you know, I don't even care. If you think I need it, yes, it's true, I need it. I need it. Is that not it? Am I dead? I'm not dead. Amen. Galatians 6, verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word, what should he do? Communicate unto him that teacheth it in all good things. Verse 7, do not be deceived. So there is a deception that can embrace a man that will make him think that, you know, I can actually hear from a minister and I am trained by a minister and I'm not giving to the minister. It's not about does the minister have money. It's about the fact that are you doing the will of God? That's what it is. It says, but do not be deceived. God is not mocked. So it is mockery when you actually hear from a minister and you are growing spiritually from a minister and you don't give to the minister. God calls it mockery. He says, do not be deceived. There's a deception that is happening now. That's what he says. He says, for he that soweth to the flesh, of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the spirit, of the spirit will live life everlasting. The life in Christ. The life in Christ is to give to the people that bless you. Simple. Amen. 1 Timothy 5:17 as well. He says the same thing. He says, let the pastors be paid well. 1 Timothy was written to a bishop who had many pastors. So he was saying, let them be paid well. Let them be blessed. Let them be paid. Amen. They, though that labor, let them be paid. Let them be given something. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We are looking at who do we give to. 5:12. We are in verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor amongst you. What is the qualification? Them that labor. Should we say it this way? If you are not giving to your minister, you are saying it's not laboring enough. And it's not about the amount. It's about the heart of obedience. Praise the Lord. That is why Jesus will actually say, God will say, do not appear before me empty. That's why in the Old Testament they will say, we are going to meet Prophet Samuel. Are we going with a gift? It's not. All of those things are just speaking to us about the life that we should live now in Christ. The problem is now we pick up the type and shadows. Thank you very much. And we leave out the things. We leave out the other things. Okay, let's continue because of our time. Who else do we give to? Number three, we give to saints. Galatians 6. We give to saints. I must finish this topic today. And I'm almost done. Galatians 6:9. Amen. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Say something we continue in. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10. As we therefore have what? Opportunity. Let us do good to how many? Amen. Especially those of the household of. Where do you start generosity from? The church. Amen. And you know the funny thing? The funny thing is that sometimes we don't. You know why? Sometimes not many people are in church. What I mean by that is if everybody at a local church and they go to church, and the saints' needs are met in the church, very few will it be issues where which other people have issues outside because their own local church will have been able to sort it out. And if their local church cannot sort it out, we can now do a collaboration to sort out the needs of people. Because there is a situation in the Bible where with the Judea church had a problem. It was the church in Antioch. You know, if you say that thing kind of thing today, people say, are you okay? A church called, let us have rest local ministries. Doesn't have rest financially, right? And there's another church out there that is financially okay. That church will hear about the fact that they don't have rest financially in this church and then get money and send it to that church. But guess what? We are two fighting one another to notice. So you see the point? Everybody's not in a local church. So the needs of people cannot be met. So people will have needs and then they will most likely go outside because they are not in a local church. Because the first place that should know when there's an issue is your spiritual family. Because there is giving. The people in the local church are giving every time that we may be able to take care of the people. Amen. Church, amen. So what is the instruction? It says, as you have opportunity, do good to all men, even those of the household of faith. Next, who do you do good to? Your parents. Let me tell you something. There is something about God. When you see him, ask him. There is something about God and your parents. God wants you to honor your parents. If you have parents, wherever it is that they are, I am not for what did they do or what did they do. If you have a privilege of a parent that is alive or someone that was the representation of parenting to you when you were growing up, treat them very well. I'm not the kind of parent that always talk about reward. Treat them very, very well. God's eye is on that stuff. I'm telling you, Ephesians 6 will tell you. It will tell you that Exodus 20 tells you, honor your father and mother. That's the first commandment with a promise. In the New Testament, it will tell you, you have parents, do them well. Let them know that you're a believer. Why am I getting all of these things? Even if you think they didn't treat you well, I am a believer. It is one of the things in my kingdom that from what I earn, I give to you, daddy and mommy. I give to you well. I give to you robustly. What we should see the robustness in your parents' life from the robustness in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is just scripture. This is not about what they did or they did not do. From your little that you are earning, even if it is 1p, say, daddy, mommy, this is 1p. It's not because you have money or you don't have money. It's because I'm a believer. Amen. And finally, you give to the poor. You give to the poor. You know, do you know how God taught giving to the poor in the Old Testament? It's in Leviticus 23, verse 22. He said, when you grow your crops, go in and harvest it once. Don't go back, because there will be some remaining. Those some remaining, leave it for the poor. Leave it for the orphans. So they will have something that they will eat. That's how he taught them to take care of the poor. When Proverbs, Solomon the wise man will talk, the man of God in Proverbs 19:17 says, he that actually gives to the poor, he lends to the Lord, and the Lord will pay him back. The man that hears about the plight of the poor and does something about it is God's extension on the earth. The prayer answered, of a man prays and God answers through another man. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. What have I said? You give to the kingdom. You give to ministers. You give to saints. You give to your parents. You give to the poor. How do we give? We give willingly, cheerfully, from what we have, not what we do not have. This is God's way, God's system, embedding the type and shadow and the system of God in the new age. 1 Corinthians 16 will tell you in verse 1 and 2, from what you have earned, set aside first for the Lord. It is a proof of your consecration that God is God to you. You don't set apart last. It is how we showed them in the old. It is still relevant today. He says it's an order amongst all the churches that God needs amongst the saints, in the church, in the temple, is met. We are people that have learned the liberality of God, and we walk in that order. Rise upon your feet today and bless the name of the Lord. This is where I want you to declare that, Lord God, I've heard your word. I am a giver because I'm a lover, because you love me first. I have seen your system. I have been taught. Please ensure you go back to all the scriptures that were quoted, that you may have conviction on the things that you have heard. Let's lift up our hands today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you praise. What a time we have had together. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you because you're teaching us how to use our earnings. We are not like the rich fool of last week, whose eyes was on himself alone and was not rich towards the things of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. As we close in this service, I want you to go to somebody and I want you to just bless them. Just bless them as we close in this service. Go to somebody quickly. Just bless them. Open up your mouth and declare God's word over them. Just declare. You're a minister. Declare as we close in this service. Come on, declare. Come on, open up your mouth and bless. You have heard how people have come to tell me, come to tell you, Sister Ayola said this, and that's how it happened. Brother Tony said that. This fella said this. This one said that. That's how people, as he said this, God is speaking to men and women in this place. Do not despise it. Yeah, that's God's temple speaking to you. God is with him. God is with her. Brother, sister, bless. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.